WMFO in Medford, listening to Rising with Skybar. I got a guest, Doug Quintal, coming up in about 10 past 8, maybe a little longer. I got to play a lot of new music as well. So I'm going to get to some of that, and then we'll be up. And right now I'm going to play a fairly new release by The Hives, national band, and I'll be back soon. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. All right, that was Smoke and Mirrors by The Hives. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. It's 8:03, Rising with Skybar, as I said. We have dug up after this this music section here. All new stuff. And this first one is by Carissa Johnson, frequent guest on this show. But I'm going to play this now, and we'll be up very shortly.
What can I do? get nervous, I get shaky. We'll be right back.
All right. That was Crow Follow, a song called In Between. Before, this is all brand new stuff. Crow Follow with In Between. Shiver Lane with the latest single called I Get Nervous. Carissa Johnson with Congratulations. 814 WMFO in Medford. Rising with Sky Bar. And I'm here now with Doug. What's up, Doug?
Not much. How you doing?
Who would have thought, it's like 50 years ago, if you told me that I'd be on a... I'd be interviewing you at a radio station, right? Who would have thought?
Oh, man. It is 50 years. Wow.
Right, roughly 50.
Yeah, you know, it cause... is. It's crazy. I never would have imagined all the way from the mean streets of West Munich.
Exactly. So, you know, I got to say this. You've got a lot done. You accomplished a lot. And
thanks.
Whether it's your music, the book, the photography, we might get to the barbecue sauce. We'll see. But... everything you do, you put your all into it, and it's you do a great job with everything.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so we're gonna start with the syphiloids. Obviously, we're not gonna deal with Shades of Gray.
No,
that's,
we're not.
We don't have that much time.
No, that's ancient history. But the syphiloids, you know, the kids are still dancing to it. So
yeah, not? And yeah. So briefly, when did the syphiloids form? How old were you when that got going?
12, 13. I don't know. No. When did we go through puberty?
That's
right
shades
about that time.
That's shades of
that
gray
was shades
material.
Of gray, yeah. The syphiloids. The true story of the syphiloids was it was a band I started with a couple buddies of mine at Bates College.
Yeah.
And when I graduated and went through Side Streets and Shades of Gray, and then came out the other side of that, it's like you just get so burnt out and jaded on the industry. And I missed playing, and I just wanted to do something that I didn't have to care about. And the syphiloid seemed like a great way to bring it back. And I met Fred Pinot from the Atlantics. I was running a comedy club at the time, and he was trying his hand at stand-up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. So I approached him and I'm like, dude, you're funny, but you are just so much more talented with a guitar.
Right.
And I said, I've got this idea for a band. What do you think? And he was all in. So we got him and Jesse Mayer from Shake the Faith came on board, and it was a lot of fun. And it went through a number of permutations.
I was going to say that. You had a few plays involved by the...
Yeah, yeah. And... What made it interesting is that no matter who was there, it was like they always respected kind of the legacy, the lore of the band, and nobody ever took it too seriously, which is a good thing. But
you had fun on stage.
We had a lot of fun, and we played with a lot of great bands, and we got to see... parts of New England, Saugus, Everett, that, you know, most people don't ever get to see.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we never really officially pulled the plug on it, so you never know.
Yeah, there was a... When was that last reunion thing? It was in Somerville, somewhere I went to. It was how many years ago?
2017?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So technically, you never know.
No.
The syphilis could pop up.
We could. There is no known cure for it, so it's one of those things that it could be a recurring issue.
And what about the names?
The names of the band itself, or the names of the guys in the band?
I was going to say the guys, but yeah, both, I guess. But I know you're known as Bug, and everyone has their...
Yeah, it was very much Ramones-like. Syphiloids were... Fred had created this whole kind of backstory to... We were triplet sons of the same father but different mothers. We grew up in this trailer park, the Shady Lady Trailer Park on the shores of Lake Kamanawanabonya. And
it was a whole story.
He had a whole backstory. I mean, it was just hysterical. But at the end of the day, we just wanted to kind of give what we were doing some room to breathe and grow. And
yeah.
Came up with, you know, it became kind of a rite of passage that
right.
when somebody joined the band,
I
would give them the name. So it Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of them will still use that as their nicknames.
So, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna play a song here off the another one of the singles that I told people I would play tonight, and then we'll come back and we'll play a Sid Floyd song and
sounds good.
Might even sing one for us.
All right.
But this is Megan Tracy and the Misconnections.
I wasn't 17. You wouldn't say I hadn't lived my life or didn't have the means. Doesn't make it any less of a hard-earned right to say I want what I have and I don't want any more. But how could I picture what she might have said, knowing her choice was different when she was.
It's comforting.
All right, that was Guys Like Me, Never Get Girls Like You, and that is hold on a minute, Doug, I gotta set the board here.
Yeah, right.
Now you're up. Off of Still Sounds Good.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
Before that, I played Megan Tracy and the Misconnections. Her latest single was called At My Age. So. You can strum away if you want. Maybe talk a little bit about what you're going to play. And
yeah. Well, you just—it's interesting having to follow yourself. So.
Yeah. And in a different sound, a little bit.
It's right. It's a lot different. You've been to our last show, and I just really, you know, during the pandemic, I really started missing playing, and had written some stuff more Syphiloids oriented.
Yeah.
And then this past year, really kind of started putting a set together, and then a series of events happened recently and got me thinking about, you know, different topics. I mean, writing Syphiloids material is, it's hard because, you know, it has to have that tongue-in-cheek aspect to it, and so it's kind of has to organically be funny, but I wanted something really different that would speak to kind of things that we all understand, breakups being one of them. And I'm not certainly the first or the last musician that'll ever write about a breakup, but this one was one that just kind of shook me to the core. And yeah, it's called Wallflower, and it sounds like this.
Very nice.
Thanks.
That's get some emotion in that one.
Yeah. Definitely.
But you mentioned you wrote some new stuff. Do you see this going to more of this coming up? this kind of writing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's probably as... Well, I don't know. I want to...
As you say, just, quite a departure from the Syphiloids.
Yeah, I want
to... raw and...
Explore most. Just more kind of stuff that I've gone through over the course of my life.
Yeah, and I think that's a natural progression in a musician's... And again, as we get older, you experience more things, and some of them aren't easy things, too.
No, I mean, it's... You know, you've known me forever. I mean, right. You know, you've been... by my side for a lot of things, you know, whether it was the death of a fiance or
it was tough.
Divorce or, you know, kids, whatever. I mean, all of these things make us who we are. And at the end of the day, I'd like my music to be able to reflect part of that. And hopefully...
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to completely shift gears, you wrote a book.
I did write a book.
Enough for the... Right? We'll try and pick it up a bit.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I was telling you off air, anyone that writes a book, I'm like, that's a massive undertaking. Did it take a long time to... Well, how long did it take?
Yeah, it was 6 years of research. The title is called Full Metal Branding.
Yeah, and briefly, what's it about?
I'm a marketing professor at Emerson College, and I have long wanted to write something. And it was just finding the right topic. For me, it wasn't just about, you know, going into it. It was like, does the world really need another marketing and branding book? And, I wrestled with that for a while. And I said, once I found the topic, it was like, yes, they need this one. And what I did was I studied how heavy metal music is marketed, and generally with not a lot of money, and how the bands that are able to break through in a way that develops or leads to the most loyal following, passionate following of any genre in music, and it's generally multi-generational. And one of the things that I wanted to explore was, if bands can do it, can brands do it? And I was able to reach out and spend a fair amount of time talking to a gentleman named Rob Campbell, who handles all of Metallica's marketing, branding, and licensing. And we talked on a couple of occasions, and that was the deal. It was like, bands are able to attract fans, but brands chase them. How can you flip the equation? So all of my research was based on how to kind of codify what happens in the marketing of metal. From various levels, from bands just starting, bands mid-tier, to bands like Metallica, and how you make make that a reality. So I've got a book. It's basically, you know, there's a pretty... Yeah, I hate to say it's, you know, it's been codified to like a 12-step process. I go through 12 steps.
Yeah.
And I have a workbook that, if you know, when people buy the book, they can download it and do it. It's not meant to be theoretical. It's meant to be very applied, hands-on. And I am so indebted to the people that helped facilitate this at Emerson, and to the musicians and the groups, the artists, the fans.
You must have talked to a lot of fans and artists.
I had about 1,500 pages of research notes.
To me, that's mind-boggling. But you're a professor, and I was a mailman, so, right? But that's wow.
Yeah, it was a lot to sift through, and I got some great insights. It was really from, you know, things that really helped define the culture, the different subgenres of metal to...
Right, that's a whole other thing. Metal, like all music, rock, metal, within metal there's I don't know how many subgenres. There's a lot, though, right?
About 70.
Within that.
Yeah.
And even so sometimes you might... And even metal might skew into like just general rock and vice versa, and some bands do both.
Exactly.
Within there.
Exactly.
So it's an expansive
It format. Really is. I mean, you know, I grew up, Rush has always been my favorite band, and, you know, prog metal, prog rock, whatever you want
to listen to a lot of Tull when we were growing up.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of Tull.
So, you know, it's funny to see years later how that, that stays with you,
yeah,
and how it influences your perspective on things. And it's like, why, you know, am I that bizarre? Nobody else sees the world through that lens. But then when you start to reach out to people and talk to people, you realize, you know, everybody wants to belong, and everybody's looking for their specific tribe. And the metal community is just one that is very accepting. They have your back. It's a family. It's an international family. And you hear a lot of artists say that, but it's not, they're not saying it to be trite. They're saying it because it's the truth.
Yeah, they feel it. It's legit. Right. I hear you.
I mean, you know, when was the last time you were walking down the street and stopped somebody to say, hey, that's a really cool Elton John t-shirt?
Yeah, not, well, not now. Well, not ever, probably.
No,
right.
Probably never.
I was thinking, I mean, the dude was huge, and when we were growing up, I liked Elton John. You're not going to throw a lot of his metal is more known for, I would guess, t-shirts and the style and the appearance, whether it be, for lack of a better word, the costuming on stage and that's what they're known for.
That sells, right? It does. I mean, you can carry on a conversation with a complete stranger over a t-shirt. You know, somebody that you've never met, and you know, it's like you've been friends for life, and then you're off, you know, you're back onto your own separate ways.
Yeah.
Something that's really cool about that. And it's like, when was, you know, think of the brands that have the ability to do that. Harley, Liquid Death, Apple, maybe.
Right.
But not much beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some car companies, but by and large, that's what I set out to tackle.
That's the gist of the book.
That is the gist of the book.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to, because it's an hour show, as we discussed, I'm going to play a quick song.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and, we'll discuss when I'm playing this, but we'll talk about a couple other things you got going on. And
sounds good.
But right now, I think this came out this year as well. This is a band called Bully.
Okay.
Devil in disguise. Beware who's around you, hiding in plain sight. Beware who's around you in the broad daylight. Beware who's around you, cause the truth just might. It may be the devil in disguise. Yeah, it may be the devil in disguise. She got smile, fit for queen. Put your pocket, leave it clean. Long cars, window heights. Money down, pay the price. Never kneel for the throne. Beware who's around you, hiding in
you, cause the truth just might. It may be the devil in disguise. It may be the devil in disguise.
Doug's strumming away there, trying to figure out what we're going to do. But we're gonna talk next. But I just played Rancid. Song was called Devil in Disguise off of their new release. Yeah, they keep cranking them out. Song was called Tomorrow Never... I mean, the song was called Devil in Disguise. The CD is named Tomorrow Never Comes. And before that, Bully with All This Noise off Lucky For You. Both of those came out this year. So why don't we talk a little bit about photography?
Yes.
Did this... Were you just... I put a lot of pictures up myself, but I'm just out there with a phone. Did you start out with like with a phone and you say, again, did it morph into, I want to take this a little more seriously?
It did.
I would imagine that's a general progression.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it was a local rock critic had asked me to take pictures of a show that he was reviewing. The band was Garbage, mm-hmm. and it was at the Orpheum. And we went, I got my pictures, did some editing, and sent them to him. He liked them, and I've been doing a lot of work with him. In fact, Jim Sullivan is the critic, yeah. And he's got a new book coming out, his book release party.
Yeah, was it recent?
Yeah, recent. Volume 2 is coming out on the night before Halloween. October 30th at the Paradise. So if anybody's around, they like this is from the punk era forward, all of his interviews, and I've contributed a few pictures to that new publication. So it was one of those things where it was like I would go to shows with him, you know, take pictures, and then I started developing my own blog. Did a couple workshops with a guy named Jeremy Saffer, who does photography for Metal Hammer. He does all their cover art, and then he's like the exclusive photographer for Ghost, Avatar. He's done Lamb of God, you know, a lot of the metal bands, and just learned quite a bit from him. It's just he's just phenomenal, and getting to learn about the, you know, post-production, editing, Lightroom, all of that has been just an amazing experience. And I've been fortunate to have had, you know, a few pictures placed here and there,
yeah.
And some really nice feedback on it. The thing that I really like about it is when the artist reaches out and says, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
No, I see. Obviously, I follow you. I see them all. You do great work.
Thank you.
Like, so are you up close? Or do you just use a super great camera? Are you set back a ways?
Because
I'm like, he's always got to be in the front row.
Right. If I can get, you know, a photo pass for it, I'm right there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've got something with a crazy zoom.
Right. But I imagine more often than not, you're...
Yeah.
The Butcher Babies, I know you're there, you're probably back, you're backstage.
I'm right there.
The point is, they only been like that, so a lot of bands are probably like right there.
Metallica, I went up to the two nights in Montreal, and the first night I got some amazing shots. I was right there at the stage. And that
was via a pass of some sort? You didn't buy a ticket? I'm saying I got a ticket in the front. got access.
Yeah. So it was... It was one of those things that just happened to work out. The second night was most of my shots were from, you know, just probably like 50, 70 yards away. And that was where the zoom came
in. Yeah, that's where you need a great camera.
Yeah, yeah. And as long as the lens doesn't come off, people are happy.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like I said before, when we came on, when you put your mind to something, I've known you forever, you do a good job at it, you follow through, you're dedicated to this stuff.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I mean, you've overcome a lot, and
I had a few hiccups.
Yeah, I mean, you've always been an idol of mine.
Thanks.
You know, and just as somebody who's, you know, fought through some really tough times and come out the other end, and you're doing something you absolutely love. And
I do love it. Yeah.
And the community adores you. And
I hope they like me. I don't know.
I'm part of that community. I used to be part of that community. So I can speak for myself, but you know, friends of mine that you've had on.
No, it's a thrill for me to have these. We were talking off here again about these bands that we would see as kids. And I didn't know them. I was just a fan in the crowd, and I could rattle off 7 or 8 names. And now they've been on the show, or when I go to shows, it's like, hey, you know, we can converse.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And for me, that kind of blows me away because you were in this, you're in it. You're a musician. You're in the scene. I was just a kid in the crowd, and so to kind of it is cool to get to that. But yeah, I have fun doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm always available for local photo shoots as well. So if there are bands out there looking, I'm always available. Yeah,
before we get out of here, you want to touch on, because there's a lot going on. I got a jar here. So
you do.
Trisha will be happy.
Yep.
Do you want to touch on the barbecue sauce? So that's another thing. I'm like, how do you make a barbecue sauce? I develop.
You know, you'd mentioned the Butcher Babies.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I became close with them about 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago now. And every time they would come through on tour, it was like, did you guys eat? Did you guys So I started cooking for them.
Now, imagine how often they haven't.
Yeah, I know.
Bouncing from city to city.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and that's tough. It's a tough lifestyle, and it's just, sure. You know, so at least one home-cooked meal, and it was always barbecue. It was like, what do you guys want? And then, I just threw together the sauce, and they loved it.
That's funny.
Just started over the last 10 years, you know, playing with the recipe till the point where I got it to a point where it's like, wow, this is really good. It's, you know, I don't mean to toot my own horn on that.
But I'll let you know. I'll try it soon.
It's unlike any other sauce, and the approach that I've been taking with it has been hit the people that I was interviewing for the book and get it to people who really appreciate good barbecue, but are also in that kind of metal hard rock realm, because I really do want it to be more than just a barbecue sauce. I want it to be a lifestyle brand. So it's interesting.
It all ties into the marketing thing.
It does.
I can never
escape it.
That's your gig, though.
Marketing.
Wow, that's your thing. That's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, That's basically how it came about. Black Mass Barbecue. It's on Instagram. There's a new website going up, blackmassbarbecue.com, and I guarantee you will love it.
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the clock now. It's 8:52. It's up to you. Do you want me to play one? And do you want to play or not? It's totally your call. I can play a quick, like, 2-minute thing.
Sure.
Why don't we do that? Because I told these guys.
All right.
I was going to play their song. This is band's called The Spackles, and this is their latest. A lot of new music tonight. This is their latest, and we'll come back, and maybe we'll get one more before we get out of here. This is The Spackles.
I'm a man with the X-ray eyes, and I can see through you. All the things you do when you think that nobody is paying attention to you. Man with the X-ray eyes, and I can see through you. All the two-faced lies, all the alibis, and it hurts. Watch out, it's coming for you. Watch out. Watch out, it's coming for you. Watch out. Some people say X-ray eyes, and I can see through you. I got a window pane, a piece of cellophane through the truth. Watch out, she's coming for you. Watch out. Watch out, she's coming for you. Watch out. Some people say they won't see it, but I see it every day. They lock up your daughters, send your sons off to die. In the best war ever that was all based on lies. We're wringing our hands, clutching our pearls. Red baited, greenwashed, we slaughter the world. But the flag is a sham, flying corporate greed. And the black and the brown are the ones who will bleed. If you open your eyes and you let yourself see, you'll see the things no one will believe. Watch out, I'm coming for you.
All right, that was the Spackles with Man with the X-Ray Eyes. Doug's got one more for us before we get out of here.
Cool.
It's all yours, yeah.
All right, and this is called All About You.
We got to get out of here. I got like a minute left. So this is WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Doug, for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to get out of here with a quick one by the Hives. Peace.